Good morning. Couple of quick announcements. The Silly Youth will be going bowling today at the YMCA from 1:30 to 3:30. Tomorrow, Lutheran Men in Mission will meet at 7 o'clock. The annual audit will be on February the 2nd, next Sunday, starting at 1 o'clock. The schedule is posted out in the hallway here. If for some reason you have an issue with your scheduled time, please get with Miss Libby and we'll adjust that. February the 15th, we have a mother-son, father-daughter Valentine's dance. Be in the fellowship hall. What time does that start, Miss Tina?
I want to say around 7, but I don't know for sure.
On the 23rd, February 23rd, we'll have a congregational meeting with Pastor Tonneson. We'll be here also after the meeting to go over the call process. And by what I understand, he will be our supply pastor that day. So we'll have Pastor Tonneson on the 23rd. And then as soon as the congregation meeting is over, we'll go over the call process. If I have anybody, we have anybody that is willing to serve on that call committee, please get with me so we can kind of sort of get a heads up that who's willing. Need a good mix of the congregation. So let me know if you're willing to serve on the call committee. We want to welcome Mr. Victor Parrish with us today. A little bit about Mr. Parrish. He grew up in Lexington, raised his family, and worked as a barber for over 30 years. He is now retired and living in the Winston-Salem area. He is the music director and pianist at the Arbor Lutheran Church in Lexington. He was certified as a lay preacher by the North Carolina Synod in May of 2019. So, Mr. Parrish, we appreciate you coming and spending Sunday with us. Birthdays.
Let's all rise for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives us all our sins, whose mercy endures forever. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things that we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You can be seated. And let's have the children come forward. Do we have anybody nervy enough? Nothing like being really excited, is it? Our scripture lesson this morning is about fishing. And I brought a fishing pole. Isn't that a good one? Do you think you'd catch any fish with that? If you did, you might catch one at a time. Why don't you hold the fishing pole? It won't bite you. And if I could get you to help me. In our lesson today, the fishermen were fishing with a net instead of a hook. If we had the hook, we could only catch one fish at a time. Sure, you can help hold it. Which one's going to catch the most fish, this net or one hook? I think maybe the net would. If I take this fishing pole, stand up just a minute, and I hook it on you like that, I caught one. I caught one. I made sure the hook doesn't have any burrs on it. Now you know what a fish feels like when he gets caught, huh? And if I really pull, there we go. Okay. All right, now let's see how many more we can catch with a net. This is why the fishermen, come on down this way just a little bit. Y'all stand right here. Oh, that's okay, I'm flexible, I'll move up here. Hold this up high. You come back and have a seat. We'll just rearrange things a bit. Now, if I had the fishing pole, it's got one hook on it, and I can only catch one. But with a net, we can catch everybody at one time. We can get you in there. Okay, so Jesus is going to these fishermen. They're using this big net, catching bunches and bunches of fish. Come sit right here. Jesus is talking to these guys that are catching bunches and bunches of fish. And he says, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And that means we're supposed to tell other people about Jesus. And as we tell Jesus, we kind of spread this net out a little bit. And we catch somebody just long enough to tell them we love them and that God loves them. And there's nothing we've ever done that God will not forgive us for. So let's remember that as we go through today. Jesus loves us. God loves us. And we are forgiven. Amen. Let's go have a seat with parents. You want to keep the net? Or you'd rather have the fishing pole? Thank you.
The third Sunday after Epiphany is a reading from Isaiah. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock.
Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices of shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I was baptized, that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel. And not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Good morning, and thank you for letting me be here to worship with you this morning. Andy, Miss Ferguson introduced me, and I thank you for that. But I want y'all to know why I became a lay preacher. If you didn't know, I'm not ordained. I'm certified by the bishop, but not ordained. As he said, we've talked already, I'm the musician at the Arbor. And they asked me if I could play for them for 4 to 6 weeks until they found somebody permanent. You probably know how this goes. Well, that was 15 years ago. However, through the years, I've heard lots of Lutheran sermons. I didn't grow up Lutheran, but I've been forgiven for that. I knew that I'd found a place where I could worship God in a way that didn't contradict what I believed in my heart to be true. As we all know well enough, there's not enough preachers coming out of seminary to fill all of the retirement spots. So the lay preachers were put together and trained. We had a lot of Sundays when there was no supply available, and the musician played for an hour. They didn't want to take a break except to take the offering. They just want to keep singing, and that's fine. But even as good as that is, the service felt a bit empty. And I wanted to be able to fulfill, I wanted to fill the pulpit at my church when there was no supply available so that we would have someone in the pulpit. I was in the first cohort of lay preachers and was certified by the Synod May of last year. In our scripture lesson today, we're going to be talking about Jesus calling. I had been called for a long time to get myself in the pulpit, but I kept finding excuses not to. But now that call up to the pulpit is being answered, and God has blessed it. Today's gospel reading is a very familiar story, and as with familiar things, we sometimes forget the details. If I fall off this little step, somebody come help me. So, since we maybe have forgotten some of what's happened in the early part of Matthew, we'll give a very quick review. We had the birth of Jesus, the wise men visiting, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus escaping to Egypt to avoid the massacre of infants. And then the angel that appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." We have John the Baptist proclaiming in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." We have Jesus coming to John in the wilderness to be baptized. We have Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. These are the sermons that we've heard in the past, or for some of them in the past few Sundays. And the story continues with Jesus beginning his ministry in Galilee. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, is what my Bible says, but I've read somewhere it said the Lake of Galilee. I'm going to call it the Sea of Galilee. He saw two guys fishing with nets. We saw with this net that I drug up here that it gets tangled on its own. And if you're using it, it's going to get torn and it has to be fixed. But you can catch more fish with a net than with a hook. Fishing today is sport for most. Any fishermen? Two. Okay. All right. Today, most people fish for sport, some for necessity of putting food on their own table, and others are commercial fishermen. My mom and daddy loved to fish as good as anything they ever did. And I'm one of six kids. And they would take all six of us fishing with them. And if we said we didn't want to go, they'd say, oh, it's relaxing, they'd say. It's fun, they expounded. Provides food for dinner on the table tonight. They did not, however, mention mosquitoes, gnats, snakes, poison ivy, rocks with no flat place to sit on it. It seemed like every rock around High Rock Lake was pointed on the top. But anyway, they didn't mention the sunburn, because back in those days it was just a thing. And they didn't mention the boredom that we were going to be going through if we didn't enjoy fishing. I was the third of six, so I was kind of in the middle to help herd the little ones and obey the older sisters. We made it through all that. But throughout the whole day, we'd hear from one or the other of our parents. They'd say, well, you guys sit still. You're scaring the fish away. We didn't have any idea what they were talking about. We weren't doing anything. We had a branch off of a tree about 6 feet long full of leaves, and we were waving around, swat the mosquitoes away, we thought. And being a kid, every once in a while, when you go around, you drop it, it falls in the water. So we pick it up and we shake it real hard over the water. All the water on the leaves falling back in the lake. We thought we'd done good until Daddy would scream over and say, well, you kids go sit over there. You're scaring away all the fish. We thought we were doing okay, as kids do. It's no surprise if after hearing this, you've concluded that I really don't like to fish. My brothers have even tried through the years to show me a better way to fish that guaranteed I would enjoy it. It didn't work. I didn't like that either. But I do enjoy going to the fish market. To successfully bring home a haul of fish, it takes a lot of work. If you've got a fishing pole like that, you're probably not going to catch anything. But if you have a good fishing rod and reel, you might catch one at a time. And if you go to the beach and cook fish with three hooks, you might catch three at a time if the fish are really running. But it's a lot of work either way. The nets are heavy. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw two guys fishing with a net. This was no nylon net like I had this morning. I think we can safely say it was totally organic. Organic things are sometimes heavy. Or what would you make a net out of? I really don't know. I went and bought that little one I had. Fishermen letting down their nets and drawing them up again for a whole day of work is a lot of work. The nets were heavy before the fish ever got in them. Once they were full of fish, they were doubly heavy. They're working hard to catch fish to sell to others, to feed their family. It's their livelihood. I can imagine they were all tired, sweaty. Now, what does a fisherman smell like? Fish. And now they're tired, but this guy standing on the shore is calling to them, and the brothers thought, well, maybe this guy's wanting to buy some of our fish. But Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't ask them to come. He didn't order them to come. He didn't beg them to come. He just said, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. If we were on our job and somebody came by and said, follow me, I'll make you fish for people, we'd probably call somebody in a white coat to have them removed. But when we think about it that way, it probably makes us a little bit uncomfortable, because I don't know that I'd have left the barbershop if I didn't know who was talking to me and making the offer. We need to think about that a bit. But Jesus is walking along with these two guys. By the way, were Peter and Andrew. They were brothers. That's the first two guys. Jesus saw two other brothers mending their nets. Again, the nets are from organic material, and they had to be mended often. Here Jesus called them, and here these two brothers, James and John, again immediately left the boat and the father and followed him. The two guys that fished, do y'all have a boat? It's a big hole in the water where you can pour all of your money. But hey, if you're going to fish, you need a boat. Or a good net and some way to get out there. James and John left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. At this point, Jesus has called his first four disciples. Have you ever wondered why Jesus chose fishermen? Why not? Fishermen are strong, determined, good work ethic, patient, persistent. They smell like fish. Look back at the followers of Jesus all through our biblical history, and you don't find perfect people. The followers of Jesus have come from every quarter, from every area, every economic background, every social background, everything, everywhere, following Jesus. Let's think back about some of the biblical figures that we know and are familiar with. The created man, Adam. Noah, through the flood, Samson, Moses, King David, Peter over in the New Testament, and the list goes on and on. A lot of these big biblical figures disobeyed God, and they had to pay the consequences for that. When they had all repented, God, the creator of all that is, forgave them all. And he used them to spread his love and good word. Along these lines, I'm going to take time to tell y'all a story about my friend Raul, who lives in Puerto Rico. He was in the United States. He came to immerse himself so he could learn English better. On a beach trip several years ago, we took our friend Raul with us. As in Puerto Rico now, he's still recovering from aftershocks of the earthquake. But while Raul was here, he wanted to see the beach. And I thought, you grew up on an island. Surely you know what the beach looks like. And he said, now I'm not making fun of him with his imitating his accent, but it makes me happy. He said, Victor, the beach in Puerto Rico, you walk through the trees and through the bush, and poof, there's the beach. You cannot see it before you get there because everything grows down to the beach. And he wanted to see a temperate beach where the trees didn't grow down to the ocean, where it did frost and freeze and things changed. So we took him with us. Okay, you've already determined that I don't like to fish. But on this particular trip, I had taken my saltwater fishing gear. If you don't like to fish, what are you doing with that? Okay, I borrowed it. The first day at the beach, have you ever gotten there and you think, oh, this is so beautiful, and then you look at the water, it's like seaweed. Lots of seaweed, far as you can see, seaweed. That's what we had. But Raul wanted to fish. He had never used a rod and reel. He had never used a fishing pole even similar to that one. So he got my tutorial. Raul was determined to cast his bait out further than I had. He forgot one little thing, and that was where you hold the fishing line with your finger and you cast and you let go. He didn't let go. So the line snapped. With that mighty effort, and the line just went end over end, further on out in the water, it was gone. Hook, line, and sinker. That's where that came from. All right, here you learn the extent of my willingness and my desire to just really fish. I didn't bring any fishing tackle. Well, I had to go get some. But anyway, Raul turned around when the line snapped. He said, "Victor, what happened?" I said, "Raul, you didn't let go of the fishing line." My friend Raul was a little over-trusting of me, as I am that kind of friend, to pull a prank when it presents itself. So I told him, I said, "Raul, in this country, if you lose a hook where people swim, you've got to go get it so a swimmer doesn't get hurt." "Victor, this would be very serious, very difficult." I said, "Yes, it is. And you threw it out there, you can go get it. It's going to be difficult indeed." I let the man take his shoes off, his socks off, his shirt off, his t-shirt off. And then while he was standing in the sand barefoot, I said, "Raul, I'm just messing with you, man. You don't have to get the hook." Well, Raul was not amused at my humor. And he didn't speak to me for an hour or so, but he did forgive me when I apologized. Later in the week, we did buy more fishing tackle, just one set. We weren't hoping for a whole lot. And I took Raul to the sound side of the Outer Banks. Yeah, I know how to fish, and I know where to fish. It's just not my thing. But anyway, we filled up a 5-gallon bucket, and Raul was very happy with that. Raul was afraid of not performing well with his new fishing rod. He felt intimidated. Sometimes we may feel a bit intimidated, but we need to remember this. When we are serving God, we should never, ever have any fear of being a failure. God made us all as we are, warts and all. He knows that as humans, we're weak and sinful by nature. But God took care of that also. Jesus came and ministered to the world himself. Jesus died himself. Jesus rose from the grave again himself. And Jesus paid the price for our sins to be forgiven himself. God loves us. God is calling us. Will we follow and become fishers of people? In this area, it's okay to use a fishing pole with a hook and catch one at a time. That's okay. Just keep fishing. Be persistent. Stay with it. And spread the good news. Okay, being our weak, sinful human selves, we always want to find a reason why we cannot do that. I just don't have what it takes. I'm not worthy. God, you can't use me. I'm not worthy. And this is something I told my children. Who told you you're not worthy? Because you are. Being a child of God, we are forgiven. If we are forgiven, then we are worthy to not only follow, but also to share the good news. And yes, we will be given everything we need to do what God is calling us to do by God. We are indeed worthy by God's grace to follow him. And he won't lead us astray. We're also worthy to spread the good news. Jesus says to us, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Called together through water and the word, we boldly pray for the church, the world, and all who long to hear God's voice. Holy One, your voice calls us to follow. Thank you for rising up missionaries in every generation and for all who create communities of grace. Today, open our hearts to serve you near and far, Lord, in our mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Maker of all, we rejoice in the beauty and abundance of the earth. Unite us in our shared calling to be stewards of creation, to reduce waste, and to simplify our lives for your sake. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Ruler of all, thank you for those who run for local and national office and all who serve as elected leaders. Gather wise and courageous voices together that your mercy and justice would dawn upon all people and nations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healer of all, thank you for sanctuary and safety. Uplift all who live where fear governs and evil divides. Give refugees and all who seek safety a path toward hope and new life. Grant healing and wholeness to all who are sick, lonely, or grieving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of courage, thank you for faithful teachers and evangelists in this and every place. Inspire our faith formation efforts with all generations as you call us to follow you. Bless our children, youth, and adults who engage in learning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, assist those in areas that are in devastation, being burned by wildfires in Africa, Australia, and the U.S., and areas recovering from storms and earthquakes. Renew the burned areas with new life, and let all the earth see your glory as humanity rebuilds from the devastating loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Risen Lord, we marvel at the meaning of your resurrection. Give us faith to place all hope in you as we give thanks for the faithful departed. May their witness help us follow your call. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we have those in our family at church that are sick or need to be remembered in prayer. And God, today we lift up Burnett Monteith, Gary, Bill, Walter, the family of Sheila Haynes, Alden Conrad, Scott, Teresa, Mandy, Brody, Sharon, Jean, Dwight, Karen, Steve, Janine, and God, Steve Everhart, who was in a car wreck and is just fighting for his life. God bless him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We place our prayers before you, God, united in your spirit through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. Amen. God of wonder, you formed us in our mother's womb, and from Mother Earth you bring forth bread and wine. We place them on your table together with our lives and all that you have made. Open the heavens to us and pour out your spirit. We wait for your mercy. We long for your peace. We hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, our banquet of life. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give our thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy Lord, God of power.
When our congregation gathered for the celebration of Holy Communion, we hear again the story of God's mighty work and acts, and of the love shown to us in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. With thanksgiving, we remembered that in the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Eat. This is my body given for you." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We were given assurance of our Lord's presence through this gift of the Holy Spirit. Now we bring to you the same bread of life and the same cup of blessing, that you may be strengthened through our participation in the body of Christ. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come to the table of feasts.
Let's pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Our mission statement.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks.